more valuable than a poem or more valuable than a song. So let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this morning, and we pray right now for these words that he has written down on a piece of paper. Lord, that your anointing, that your blessing would be upon him. We pray, Father, that we would take these words and like honey, Lord, that we would eat it and it would go down into our innermost beings. And Father, it'd be something that we meditate upon and we walk out. Father, bless Pastor John as he brings forth this word. Lord, let your spirit move upon him in might and power and move upon us as we hear it and as we meditate upon it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. It's hard to comprehend that at one time it was not possible to have a relationship with God, the kind of relationship that we have or we can have today. In Ephesians 2:12, it tells us that at one time we were without hope and without God in the world. Now, I've been a Christian for a long time, almost all of my adult life, probably about 40 years now, I've been with the Lord. But I still remember that time before God. I still remember that longing, that hunger, that trying to figure it out, trying to find God. And I remember that life was very empty, there was no purpose. It was fruitless. And I was looking for God. And that was that time of without hope and without God in the world. Thankfully, according to Ephesians 2:13, the very next verse, we saw that God had a plan that was fulfilled through his Son Jesus. And it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." In fact, God's word tells us that we have not only been brought near, but we have been brought into his family and adopted as sons and daughters. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." You know, the finished work of Jesus, or through that finished work of Jesus, we've been brought close to God. We've been brought into the family so that we could know our God, our Father, personally. So we could know how much he loves us, and then therefore be able to love him ourselves and be able to understand what love is. 1 John 4:19 says that we love because he first loved us. In the book of John, in chapter 17, just before Jesus was getting ready to sacrifice his life for us, in the final prayer that Jesus prays before he, gets to start that journey to the cross, it says in verse 1 that Jesus looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son might glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God." That they may know you, the only true God. Everything that Jesus went through so that we could know the Father and be with him, that's what he was wanting. That was the heart cry of Jesus. That's why he went through all that. That we would know him like Jesus knew him. And the more we know him, the more we get to really get hold of God, the more that we love him, then the more we will be willing to then die to ourselves so that we can get closer. When you really, really love something, you'll do more to take care of that thing, more to get it, more to get close to it. And so God wants us to know him and to know about him, to get close to him. And then what's going to happen? The more we know him, the more we're going to be willing to get rid of this flesh. It's not easy. But we'll do it. We'll do what we have to do then to get closer to him. In the book of Ephesians 1:17, Paul tells us his prayer for us. He says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. So what we see there is that Paul knew it, and God certainly knows it, and we should know it, that we're never really going to know God through the flesh. It's always going to be through the Spirit. This flesh of ours is only out for itself. Our flesh does not care about God. This flesh does not care about God. It's the Spirit within us. It's the real us inside. Because we are spirit. That's the true me. The true you is a spiritual being with a temporary covering of flesh. The Holy Spirit will always be at work. His goal is always to bring forth Christ, to bring forth God, to show us God, to bring God to us, to explain God, to teach us His ways, to do whatever He can to bring glory to God. And so it's up to us to push aside this flesh. That's our job. We're co-laborers in so many different ways to share the gospel, but we're also laboring to push aside this flesh, to get rid of this flesh, so that the Holy Spirit will have access to our heart. So He'll be able to break through this fleshly outer covering, this coating, that this hard, sometimes coating, some people's times our hearts are hardened. And God doesn't want us to have a hard heart. He wants us to have a tender heart towards Him. And that way we can get to know Him better. Last week I began a series on knowing God, and today we're going to continue on with that, and we're going to be looking at the importance of hearing God's voice so we can get to know Him better. Mark 3:9 says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." We need to know how to hear God's voice. God wants us to listen to Him. What father doesn't want his children to listen to him? Think about that. I mean, in fact, every father expects his children to listen to him. Don't we? I mean, we're raising up our children. We expect that they will listen to us. We should be raising them up and training them in that way. God's voice as our Father, God's voice goes out into all the earth, calling all people everywhere to come to Him, to come to that place of repentance. And He expects people to listen. Revelations 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." I'll come in and spend time with them. I'll come in and get to know you. It lets you get to know me. That's what God wants. Romans 1:17 tells us that we've been called by God. We've been called to be saints. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we've been called out of darkness into His wonderful light. God is always calling us. He's always speaking to us. He's always trying to communicate with us somehow so that we will hear His voice and listen to Him. And God is real. He's not just some philosophy. He's not just some far-off power. God is a real being, a real person, somebody who's really personal, and He wants to communicate personally with you, with me. Sometimes we just haven't learned how to hear His voice. We haven't quite gotten that down yet. I want to look now at a story, one of my favorite stories, which I have many. And this story is in the 1 Samuel chapter 3. And it talks about that, about hearing the voice of God. And it's an important story. And it shows some real truths in there. It says, starting in verse 1, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." Imagine that. I mean, that's that still seems to me that would be just a terrible time to think that the Word of God is rare. That the Word of God is just—it's just not for people. That would be terrible. I mean, it would. There was just, it wasn't around. It just wasn't. It wasn't there. People were not. You know, other people were. They were the Christians. There were no people of God. The Israelites. They were not even serving God. It was a very serving God when Samuel was first growing up under that the ministry of a man by the name of Eli. And it says that one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And I think there's some symbolism there. You know, he was so blind, he could hardly see. And you know, it's like people could hardly see God. And he was getting old, and it said he was lying down in his usual place. It was just routine. Serving God was just routine to him. Going into the temple was just routine. He just did it because he was one of the few remaining guys, you know, and there really wasn't a lot of power. There wasn't a lot of excitement. There wasn't a lot of life in his ministering, in his life. And so he just was going blind and had this young kid with him. This kid named Samuel. And it said, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Wow, it sounds like it, maybe it almost was gonna. That's pretty sad. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord. That's Samuel. Now this is the young boy where the ark of God was. Now here's where the power of God was available. The ark of God. Then the Lord called Samuel. He's calling him because somebody, he needs somebody, he needs a man. He's calling out. And Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and he laid down. And again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lay down. You're disturbing me. I just want to go to sleep. I'm tired. I'm getting old. I'm getting weak. I can't see. You know, just leave me alone. Now Samuel did not know the Lord. This is a young boy. He didn't know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I don't think Eli was doing much of a job training him up in the ways of the Lord. So the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Three times now. Can you imagine your kid coming into your room three times in the middle of the night? What do you want, Mom? What do you want, Dad? Go to bed, would you? Come back again. What do you want? Did you call me? I heard you. Go to bed. Come back in the third time. And finally, Eli figures something out. So Eli told Samuel. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Oh yeah, it might be God. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling, as at other times, Samuel. Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. They were doing all kinds of things against God's will, doing bad stuff in the temple. They were using it for their own purposes. They were really disrespecting God in public and totally ignoring their father, and their father was really not doing anything about it. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. I think I'd be scared to tell him that. Here's your boss, and you say, yeah, boss, God spoke to me and said, he's really going to get you. But Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. And Samuel answered, here I am. He's getting this down. Finally, it was Eli that called him. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide anything he told you. So Samuel swallowed hard and told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So up until that time, Samuel did not know how to hear the Lord's voice. He had no way to discern what God was trying to tell him. He just didn't know. He didn't recognize it. He was a servant of God's, ministering before the Lord under Eli. And as we saw, Eli, he probably wasn't teaching him much. And so he didn't have a personal relationship with God where he could hear his voice. And you know what? Hearing God's voice doesn't always come easy. In fact, it usually doesn't come that easy. It's easy to know about God. Anybody can pick up a book about God. Anybody can pick up the Bible and read it. We can learn about Him from others, and they can tell us what God is saying. But that doesn't mean we're going to get to know Him. The Israelites, they used Moses to go up and do that for them. Moses, go up. In Deuteronomy 5:27, they said, go near and listen to all the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey. It's easy to let someone else tell us what God is saying. It's easier to do that than to go ourselves, to press into God and get close and try to hear His voice. That's nice. I mean, it's good to hear what other people tell us, but that's not getting close to God personally. Everybody loves it when a prophet comes to town because they want to hear the word of the Lord for themselves. We all want our Moses to go to the mountain for us and hear what God has to say. But when a prophet speaks a word to us, it really should build our faith because it should confirm what God has already been speaking to us as we hear His voice. God, it's a special gifting when He gives a prophetic word. Word of knowledge, a word, you know, a prophetic word. And when we hear that, it's not something like that just comes out of left field. Oh my gosh, I never would have thought of that. It really should confirm what God has been speaking to us already, what we've been hearing, and that way it confirms it. Yes, you have been hearing my voice. Not that it couldn't be something new. It could. Maybe it could be the start of something. But then, even then, after that, we still have to listen and let God confirm that within us. God wants all of us to make the journey to the mountain, to get close to Him, to hear His word, to hear His voice. And then we can take that, what we hear, we can take that, what we learn, and we can share that with others. We can become God's mouthpiece, His voice, His ambassador to this world. Matthew 10:27 says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Just like Samuel was awakened from his sleep, God wants us to be woke up. To be, he wants to waken us up to the ability to hear his voice so that we can know him better, so that we can get closer to him. He's knocking at our door and he's saying, come on, let me in. I want to spend time with you. Let's get to know one another. Let's fellowship together. Now, just like Samuel was told to go back to sleep by Eli, sometimes we're going to be told that. God will begin to stir something up in us, and he wakes us up out of our slumber, and we begin to step out. And then oftentimes what happens is we meet up with resistance. It could be people, circumstances, friends, family, our own doubts, our own fears, all kinds of things. And the message will be to just go back and lay down. Go back and relax. Take it easy. You're going too fast, too far. You know, you're becoming a fanatic. You're just doing too much. Go back and lay down. The devil's always going to try to get us to go back and lay down. The last thing he wants is another Christian who hears God's voice and acts on it. That could mess up all kinds of plans of the devil, all these things that he's been working on for a long time. Poor baby. He'll want you to go back and lie down, and he'll give you a million reasons why you should. Take it easy. He doesn't want you to hear God's voice, and instead he wants you to drift. Just sort of float in life with no real purpose, no real passion, no real hunger, and no real knowledge of God. He wants us basically to be ineffective Christians. And you know what? He doesn't mind that we're a Christian. To him, that might even be better than not being a Christian. Because if we're a Christian who is ineffective and has no purpose, no voice, no heart for God, what we end up doing is we end up showing other Christians that there's really no difference in us. What good is it? Why become a Christian? If people don't see a difference in us, why would they be stirred to become something better? That's a danger that many churches face today. Churches that are trying to be relevant to their culture, and they start changing the way they, minister. They start changing the way they bring forth the gospel because they want to be relevant. So they don't talk about sin. They don't talk about hell. They don't talk about, a lot of things. They don't put demands on people. They just make it a positive message. And it's all tech and it's all fire and smoke and all this kind of stuff, but there's no real depth. There's no real call to change. It's just a feel-good message. But they feel like they're relevant to the society that we live in. But the problem is they listen to the culture, our culture, instead of to God's voice. And who are we trying to please? God or man? God keeps calling us like he did with Samuel until he gets our attention. He's invested a lot in us. And he doesn't just want to let us go. He doesn't want us to give up. He'll keep knocking at that door until we recognize him. He keeps knocking. Come on. The Holy Spirit keeps prodding us until we finally learn that it's God calling, like Samuel did. And because he finally got hold of the fact that it was God who was calling him, God was able to use him in a mighty, powerful way. And now, God is calling you. He's knocking at your door, my door. He wants you to get to know him, to be that son, to be that daughter that he created you to be. He wants you to learn to listen to your Father's voice. So how do we hear God's voice? Pastor Don mentioned a little. I'm just going to mention some things briefly. I can't go into all of them today, but we're going to probably be looking at all these things in the future in more depth. But first and foremost, he speaks to us through his word. His word has the highest spiritual authority of anything that we have. God can speak to us in many ways, but it always has to line up with the word. It should never be contrary to what the word says. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart." The word of God is alive. It's something like nothing else on this earth. You know, there is no other book that you can read that has the kind of power that this book has. There's no other book anywhere that is living and that when you read it, it literally speaks to you. It literally can break you down. It can make you stop and cry and repent. It can show you things that are going on inside your own heart that you never would have noticed had you not read this word. God can speak to you through his word. You can hear his voice as you read his word. He uses his word to judge our thoughts and our attitudes. Who else will be faithful? Who else would be that truthful? Who else would be that observant? Who else would be that deep that they could look and go into our attitudes and tell us which ones are right and which ones are wrong? Only God can do that. And he has a means, he has a way to bring it out, to show us, so we can actually know what he wants us to do. And it's right in there, in his word. But we have to spend time getting into that word. It's not going to happen unless we dig into it. That's why the word is so important. Another way that God speaks to us is through his creation. In Romans 1:20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." I remember when I was in school, I went to a Catholic school, and back in those days, that actually meant something. You know, we did learn about God, and our science book was called Understanding God's World. And the study of science used to be thought of as science was just learning to understand what God has made, trying to decipher what God has done in the world. People in our country, they understood this was the way it was, that God created this earth, God created everything around us. We need to look at that thing and try to get a grasp of it and see, what did God do? How did God make this? How did God work this out? How is God keeping it going? And so we could look at life. We could look at the leaves on a tree. We could look at the seasons. We could look at the sun. We could look at animals. We could look at anything and see God in it. I know myself, you know, God, when I see a beautiful sunset, when I see clouds that have these just tremendous formations and all these beautiful colors behind them, when I go into the mountains and go climbing in the mountains or go down into the Grand Canyon and see the beauty there, or go to the ocean and see the waves crashing against the shore and the rocky seashores, and you know, I see all these things and I see the glory of God, the majesty of God. Who could have created all this? How could this all have come to be? Who has a mind that could think of all these things and give us all this beauty to inspire us? It's nobody but God. He's left his imprint on everything in the world. It's his signature. I created this, God. God also speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. consistently, continually. We need to take the time to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us, to hear Him. 1 Corinthians 9 says, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. See, the flesh can't even conceive of it. We can't understand it. We can't see it. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, and then He reveals them to us, the Holy Spirit. He helps us hear God's voice. God will speak to us in prayer. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God knows everything that's going on. We can't hide from Him. We go, we find a place to get with Him, to get together with Him. And He'll respond. He rewards those things that are done in secret. When we do those things that nobody else has to know about. The Pharisees, it talks about, go out and they pray in front of everybody else and they make a big show of their prayers and a big show of their profession of faith, and God says it's worthless. He doesn't care about that kind of stuff. He's looking for people who are meeting Him, getting to know Him. Your personal prayer. The secret to prayer is secret prayer. Praying with others is good. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. In fact, it's probably essential, and especially for intercessory prayer. But God still wants to have His private time with us. He wants to get to know us and us to get to know Him. Well, He knows us, but He wants us to have this relationship going back and forth, this give and take kind of relationship. God will speak to us when we abandon ourselves in worship. During worship, when we really let go, something happens. It's almost like we step outside of this flesh and we relate spirit to spirit when we really get lost in worship. Worship is cool. Music, I mean, God created music. He created it, He made it, and He made it as something that is just so wonderful that it literally moves us. Of course, the devil can use it too, and he can use it to stir up anger and, you know, all these other things. There's some music out there that's not good. It pulls us the wrong way. Then there's other music that is so good, and there's music just in the middle that's neither good nor bad, it's just there. But worship music, the music that is proclaiming God's glory, His majesty, even the beauty, things of love and mystery and the beauty of God, the beauty of this world that He's made, those kind of things can stir our heart and make us desire God. Help us to hear Him speak to us, make us think about Him and hear what He's trying to tell us. God will sometimes speak to us through other people. Maybe in a conversation, maybe through counseling, maybe as somebody's praying for us, maybe listening to a message like this, and you're hearing me talk, and then all of a sudden God's taking it a step further, and all of a sudden you get this thought that it just continues on, and it goes beyond what I'm saying. God is just revealing Himself to you. Maybe it's through the actual words I've said, but maybe it's through words I didn't even say, but God takes it and does something special. That's why we put those little notes, have in the bulletin there. We always have the little page here, you know, for sermon notes. But also that's a place to write down, did God speak something to you today personally? Yeah, I need to do this. God's really just showed me, man, I need to go back and do this. I need to go here. I need to do that. I need to speak to that person. Different things. We get these things. Sometimes we just think they're random thoughts, random ideas that come into our mind. And oftentimes, they're actually God speaking to us. And then there are other times where it may not be God at all. And we think, oh my God, why did I think this? Why did I, you know, even in the midst of worship or in the midst of this good thing, and then I get this terrible thought. Those aren't even necessarily your thoughts. Just like God can speak to you, the devil also will try to speak to you. That's why we need to learn to hear God's voice so we can discern, divide the word rightly, divide the voices rightly, and know the voice of God and reject the voice of our enemy. Don't take blame for what's not even yours. Just reject it. Throw it away. Cast it aside. You don't have to listen to everything everybody says to you. Just because some guy walks down the street and swears at you and tells you to do something nasty or dirty, do you take that to heart and say, I better do that? Of course not. Well, just because it comes in our mind, it's no different. We can reject that thing too. But we want to know the things that God speaks to us. We want to get hold of them. God can also use books, but make sure the books have a scriptural foundation. Make sure they're, you know, so there are sometimes books in Christian bookstores that are not even Christian. Maybe they're written by a Christian, but it's somebody who their philosophy is all mixed up. Their theology is all mixed up. Their understanding of God's Word is all mixed up. And they come out with these stories that are not godly at all, that can lead us down the wrong path. Sometimes there's people that just are trying because that's a market. Christian writings are a market. And there are people that will pander to that market. There are musicians out there that write songs for the Christian market that aren't even Christians because they know that that's a market. And there are people that write books for Christians that are not even Christian because it's a market. It's a place to sell their wares. Just like in the temple in the old times, there were people who came in and sold stuff in the temple that were not godly people. Jesus came in and turned over their tables and told them to get lost. But then there are good books. There are some things that will really inspire and motivate us. But remember, those books are always subject to the Word of God. They don't give you these dark, deep, hidden truths that never came out of the Word. When you start hearing stuff like that, that's time to back off. These are the secret truths that were never revealed in the Word of God. Only we have them, and we can show them to you now. Follow us. They're trying to lead you astray. God can really speak to us when we humble ourselves, when we're broken, during a time of repentance, when we, you know, the Holy Spirit is the one who brings us to repentance. And He will sometimes bring us to a place where we recognize what we've done. We recognize this sin. We recognize our way of life was wrong. We recognize how we did this or did that or hurt this person or did that. And we're broken. We get to that point. And when we are broken like that, when our heart is broken, it becomes open and tender to God. And it's a great time to hear Him, and because it's a time when we're open to change. We're open to letting God's Word speak truth to us, letting God speak life into us. That's actually a good place to be. The truth is, God can speak to us any way He wants, any time He wants, and through whoever He wants, even a donkey. God can use any situation, anything you're going through, you should always be able to say, no matter what you're going through, what can I learn from this? What can God show me? What can God speak to me? What can God teach me in this situation? Whether it's good times or bad times. Whether it's life or death. Whether it's health or sickness. Whether it's rich or poor. Whatever it is. It doesn't matter. If we take every situation, we say, God, what are you trying to show me here? What can I learn from this? How can I use this for God's glory? How can I grow in this? How can I get to know God more through this? That should be our attitude. Always trying to get to know more. How can, you know, always trying to see how is God trying to communicate to me? Because He is. God is a wonderful communicator, and He's always trying to bring something to us. He's always knocking, waiting for us to respond to His voice so we can know Him better. There's no lack in God's speaking or in His direction. The lack is always in our listening and our understanding. And there's really only one right way for us to respond to God's voice. The same way that Samuel did. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That little boy was willing to listen, and he was ready to be obedient. And that little boy grew up into a great man of God. God used him to protect, to rebuild, and to preserve his people. He did a great work. Samuel became a great prophet and a judge over the nation, over the people of Israel for the rest of his life. He led Israel against the Philistines, and the Lord used him. And the Philistines were defeated, and they were afraid after that. They never came back to try to take over Israel again all the time during Samuel's life. God used Samuel to anoint Saul as the first king. It wasn't God's plan for them to have a king, but the people wanted a king, and so God chose Saul. Saul started out good, but if you know the story, Saul eventually, he totally blew it. And so it was Samuel who had to go tell him, you blew it and God has now rejected you. And then it was Samuel who anointed David, a man after God's heart, to be a king. And Jesus came from the line of David. All this was done because Samuel learned to listen to the voice of God. Luke 11:28 tells us, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Matthew 7:24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. How can we build our house on a rock if we haven't first heard the instructions, heard the truth? We have a living faith in a living Savior, and He wants us to have a living relationship with Him. He wants to speak to us. He wants to talk to us. He wants to come into our life and have fellowship with us. And that's how we really are going to get to know God. That's what we're talking about, knowing God. And how can we know somebody without hearing their voice? Without somehow communicating with them? We can't. All we can do is know about them. If we want to know them, we have to somehow relate. So God wants to relate with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to hear His voice. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to spend time with you. He's knocking at that door. And He's saying, let me in. Let me in. And that's how we build our relationship with God. If I could have the prayer team come forward. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah 55:6. It says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. You never know what could happen in our life. You never know the situation, the condition of our heart. There may not always be that ability to so easily hear the voice of God. We need to get hold of Him while we can. We need to get close to Him while we can. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek Him while He is near. Listen to His voice. Get to know Him. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You so much that You think so much about us, Lord God. That You care so much about us. That You have constantly, if You have continually reached out to us. That You are always there, always trying to get our attention, always trying to speak to us and share Your heart with us, share Your thoughts with us. Lord, You're trying to give us direction. You're trying to give us life. Lord, You try to speak to us to give us everything that we need. And Lord, I pray that our ears are open, that we would have ears to hear. That we would be like that boy Samuel that said, "Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening." Help us to have listening ears. Help our spiritual ears to be wide open, to hear from You on a daily basis, on a regular basis. Lord, help us to see You in everything, in every situation, in every place, in all things, Lord God. Help us to look and listen for You in all the things that we go through. Lord, we thank You that You've not given up on us. We thank You that You are faithful even when we are not. That You are always there for us. Lord, we thank You for everything that You've done for us, especially Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for that word that we have here. We thank You for all these things, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that Your blessing would be upon Your people and all who hear this message. Lord God, that we would be faithful to You, responding to Your voice, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You, God, for this day and this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.